You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back into You Better You Bet. Kate Constable and Mark Drumheller hanging out with you here. Got a couple more guests lined up for the remainder of the show. 2 hours left. We are over on Stadium as well for the next hour. You can check us out there. We're going to have Andy Hart coming up at 5:40, co-host of the Six Ring Podcast. We'll dive into a little NFL draft talk. And then Joe DeLera at 6, host of the Cash That Podcast. He's going to come on and discuss a little bit more NBA playoffs. Mark, in the break here, I ran to my kitchen to get a little snack. Usually I can make it through the show without eating. But today, for some reason, I've been just starving all day long. So ran in an interesting combo that I just had. A little carnitas from dinner last night, some leftovers. Get a little protein. And some Thin Mint Girl Scout cookies. It's like it got a little taste of everything. Got some protein, some meat, and then a little sweet tooth with the cookies and a little mint to top it all off. It was fantastic.
Well, I love the mint. If we're talking Girl Scout cookies, definitely the Thin Mints are the elite choice there. I just wouldn't go with that pairing. Like, to me, that's a very interesting pairing. And I know, listen, we're on break. You know, we got to grab what we can get, right? It's like a money grab. You only get so many chances to get in there. But, man, I'll tell you, the carnitas and the Thin Mints, I didn't see that one coming.
Yeah, so now I'm like trying to pick a little carnitas / chocolate out of my teeth right now. Trying to make sure I didn't have like a black tooth, something sticking out the front. It's quite the flavor, you know, roller coaster going on
nice
right
mix.
Now.
Yeah, you got a lot going on the palate.
Yeah, I didn't go grocery shopping this week because I am heading out of town tomorrow just for a quick day, and my husband's off all weekend at a bachelor party. So I'm like, I'm not going to buy any food. I'm going to try and finish what we have in the fridge and just kind of clean that out. And then Sunday when I'm back, I'll do like a big grocery shopping load. So this is what I'm stuck with. And guess what? This is exactly what dinner is going to be as well, because that's literally, I might throw, like, the only other thing I have is a yogurt, throw a yogurt in there, but then that pairing gets real funky. I'm not sure I can handle that.
Well, here's the thing. This is how we can do it, right? It's about timing. Timing's everything, right? So maybe you go with the carnitas, right? You sit down, you have the carnitas, you enjoy that, you know, have, you know, a little drink with it, you know, that's fine. And then afterwards you wrap it up. Maybe like you crush up the Thin Mints, you mix them in the yogurt, you make yourself a little dessert, right? And then you finish strong. You finish that way. So, you know, you don't need to just start, you know, piling it all in your mouth at the same time, Kate. Like, you know, you're gonna drive yourself crazy mixing all that stuff together. Take your time, right? We space it out. We have the carnitas, nice little dinner, and then we make ourselves a nice dessert.
Yeah, that's probably the way to do it, is not to eat them basically in the same bite.
You don't have to be in break mode all the time, right? After the show, you can relax, you time it out, you put it all in order. There's no rush. You don't have to worry about it. You didn't got to get back on air. And then, you know, you set things up nice.
Yeah, that's the thing is, like, in these breaks, we only have a couple of minutes. Like, I had to use the bathroom. I sprinted to the bathroom, had to quickly just, I didn't even heat the carnitas up. We're eating them cold out of the fridge, just a fork straight out of the Tupperware. Then I grabbed the two Thin Mints on the way back to the desk because I'm panicked that even though I got back here with, like, 3 minutes to spare, still in my mind, I'm like, you're cutting this close. So, yeah, that's
probably a good thing to feel like. You always feel like you're cutting it close. The people don't know the grind. You always feel like you're cutting it close. You know, I ran upstairs just to get water, and I'm like, do I need to really fill it up the whole way? Like, should I just go with half, and then I've got to run back up at the next break? Like, what are we going to do here? Yeah, you're like, you feel like you're really pressing it by filling up the whole cup of water, you know? So it's, I totally understand that. I get that, because the clock's always running, because you can't be late.
No, I do that all the time with my water bottle, because I have one of these big ones. I didn't have time to fill up in this last one amongst all these 17 other things that I was doing. So next break, I'm going to time it. I'm going to go fill up the water, and I will be able to get all the way through because that's the only task I have during this next break. It's people don't understand. It's a science.
They don't know the behind grind. The you hear that music coming after the break and it's like chaos ensues.
Yes, seriously. It actually is. It's hilarious. All right, let's dive into some more NBA playoffs because we've got a big one here. This is probably the series that I'm not looking forward to the most. Like, of all the series, this is the one I really just don't care about. I have a little bit stronger take in this one, but I'm not, like, chomping at the bit to watch the Magic and Cavs in the form that the Cleveland Cavaliers have been in for the last month or so to end the season, because they have not looked good. Donovan Mitchell has not been himself. He wants out of Cleveland. Like, this is, I feel like I'm going to be on the Magic in this series. I think they win this series. I also like them at +1.5 series spread. The number there isn't great. Like, I believe it's -145, something around there. But I don't think the Cavs dominate this series. I don't think they win it in six games. I think this goes all the way, and this is going to be a big series, or going to have to be a big series for Donovan Mitchell if he wants out of Cleveland, because this is kind of like an audition for other teams to show what he can do in the postseason. We've seen it with the Jazz before, but the last couple of years he's been quiet and he hasn't looked great. I'm not convinced he's gonna all of a sudden flip a switch and look awesome in the postseason. Like, do you see that happening?
No. If Donovan Mitchell is looking for a way to get out of Cleveland, losing the first round to the fourth youngest team in the NBA, the Orlando Magic, that is a tremendous way to go. I mean, if he's trying to get out of Cleveland, he loses this series, he's definitely going to get his wish, I feel like, because they're going to have to look long and hard about, you know, their future and how that roster is constructed going forward. I think Mitchell's a guy who has a lot to prove in the playoffs, and that stems back to Utah. I think he's a great player. I don't think he's been the same here towards the end of the season, and he's going to have a tough matchup. Like, they're going to put Suggs on him. Orlando, very good defensive team. Suggs has a lot of length. I think he's going to cause them a lot of problems in this series. I like the Magic as well, Kate. I didn't bet it yet because I'm almost checking myself, because I just feel like that, like, why is this number? I believe they're +165 to win the series. I'm not sure why this number is so high when you look at this Cavaliers team who really struggled. And they had a lot of excuses. They blamed it on, you know, their mentality. They weren't ready last year, but they struggled against a good defensive team last year in the New York Knicks. We're not ready to play that type of team the way the Knicks were built. And now they get another very, very tough defensive team, this Magic team, young and hungry. You know, they are second in, you know, they do a great job enforcing turnovers, second in the NBA in opponent turnover percentage. They're second in the NBA in points scored off turnovers. So that's really where the things, everything starts with the Magic. And I don't know about you, Kate, but when a team is young like this and they do all the things that you want to see an underdog do, all the hustle plays, right? They get steals, they get deflections, they get turnovers. They can get stops in the half-court game that is the NBA playoffs. I think it's really valuable. I mean, I'm just – I don't know why I didn't bet this yet, but I just feel like it's a little – like, why is this number so wide? I think this should be closer. This should be more of a coin flip series.
I think it should, too. These two teams split the regular season series. And I feel like, yes, there's a knock on the youth or the inexperience for Orlando, but also, like, ignorance is bliss a little. And this is a young team that, like, they don't know what they're getting into, and that's okay. Like, just go out and play, right? That's not, like, the most, I don't know, analytical handicap of this series, but the Magic have nothing to lose, right? All the pressure is on the Cavs. And especially if the Cavs drop one of these first two games in Cleveland, like, the pressure starts to build a little bit and the chatter gets a little bit louder. And all of a sudden everyone's talking, oh, is this going to be another first round exit for the Cavs similar to last year? Is Cleveland really ready for the postseason? Is this roster one that they are going to keep together? Do they dramatically change things? Like, the question marks start building up more so for Cleveland than they will Orlando, because Orlando has nothing to lose. Like, no one really expects the Magic to go far in the playoffs. Everyone thinks, well, not everyone, I shouldn't say that, but a lot of people and the books, Vegas, seems to think that the series is going to go the Cavs' way. So I don't necessarily mind that they are all that young and inexperienced. Like, what experience does do the Cavs have? This roster, just last year when they got torched by the Knicks, like, they were like deer in a headlights last year. That's the experience that we're saying is significantly better than the Magic. I don't know. It just is a little off to me.
Yeah. The only experience that they have is bad experience. And when you look at their best player, Donovan Mitchell, his experience in the playoffs hasn't been great. I agree. There's like a house money element to Orlando. I love the fact that they're young and hungry. And I think that the way they're defensively, they're going to give Cleveland a lot of trouble. I think from a game by game perspective, if you're betting this, or even from a live betting perspective, an excellent way to attack it is just, you know, find a team early that's hitting threes. Cause I think points are really going to be really hard to come by. And if a team is hitting threes, they're hitting from beyond the arc from outside early, it's going to give them a huge advantage in this series. I think that's really going to be a big part of it. I like Orlando. The problem I have with the Cavaliers, and Kate, I think we've all either been through this personally or have worked with somebody in this kind of situation. Excuses are great once, right? Something happens, things don't go right. You have an excuse, there's a reason behind it, you get it, right? Cavaliers use that up. After you use up the excuses are done. Like, it's not a continual thing. Like, you're not allowed to just roll out excuses after every time you don't perform. And I think that's what we're going to see here with the Cavaliers is last year, they had a bunch of excuses. Oh, we weren't mentally ready, you know, didn't go our way, it was disappointing. Next year, we're going to be fine. Now that pressure builds, right? Now it's next year. You can't say the same thing. You know, you got to go out there and perform now, and they get a real tough matchup. I don't know. I'm not buying the Cavs here. I'm not buying the Cavs at all. I'm undecided on whether I want to wager on this game by game or whether I just want to take Orlando with the plus 165. I think that's an excellent price. But that's really how I see it. Like, it's a Cavs team. I don't know what they've done to earn our trust as bettors.
Yeah, Mark, it's kind of like when I'm in the break and stuffing my face with carnitas and thin mints and I miss getting back to my desk in time for the segment to start. That can only happen once. If that happens twice, right, I'm in trouble. Like that.
Yeah, you got
to get one pass, which I don't even know if you get a pass, but, you know, benefit of the doubt. That can't happen twice. So you're spot on with this. I will also be taking the Magic plus 4.5 in that first game. I think that's too many points. I think you're getting a discount based on the Magic being inexperienced and on the road for their first playoff game. Like, right? I don't know. That just doesn't scare me that much. I think that Orlando's defense can do some damage to this Cavs offense. Like, if Donovan Mitchell is not right, which it doesn't look like he is, he's not going to be performing all that well. I mean, Orlando does have some bodies that can match up to Evan Mobley and Jarrett Allen. And Jalen Suggs, like, he was a football player. He was Mr. Football in high school, state of Minnesota, Mr. Football and Mr. Basketball. Like, he's a physical, big defender that can shut down Donovan Mitchell. And then offensively, like, that's where the biggest concern comes in for Orlando is their offense, because it can get fairly stagnant at times. But I like Paolo Banchero. right? He's gotten progressively better as the season has gone on. And I'm not sure Cleveland has like a great matchup for him. So I'm on Orlando to win this series. I'm on Orlando in the first game at 4.5 as well.
So one way to attack this, we agree that these are two teams that have pressure on them for different reasons, right? So one of them could definitely start off slow. And we also agree that points are going to be very hard to come by because these are two, you know, very strong defensive teams that are going to win or lose the game by defense. So I'm almost, while I'm thinking through this out loud, like I'm almost wondering if like game one is a game that where like I just try and hit a bunch of different spots live. Like if, you know, Cleveland gets off to a hot start, you know, home court, you know, Orlando has those opening first playoff game jitters or whatnot, you're going to get a big juicy number on Orlando in a game that's going to be very, very low scoring because these teams thrive on defense. Or it could be the other way around, right? Maybe the Cavaliers realize that they're out of excuses earlier and they don't get off to a hot start and Orlando comes out hungry because they got nothing to lose and they get off to a big lead. You get a Cleveland team at home at a good number. So I might just hold off on game one until we get about, you know, 5-6 minutes in, maybe even through the first quarter, and then hit one of these teams live. And I could go back and forth each game and just try and middle things.
Yeah, I actually think that's a great way to play this. I think you could do that for the total too, if the game starts off fairly quickly, because this is the lowest scoring total of any game, first game of, you know, this first series. So yeah, this might be a series of, you know, of all of them out there that you can live bet. Maybe, I don't want to say the easiest, but have more opportunities to live bet in this one. The Nuggets and Lakers. I don't know if you can live bet that one. We'll talk maybe about how you do that. But the Lakers, can they get a win over the Nuggets? That's the big question here on You Better You Bet. Welcome back into You Better You Bet here on the BetQL Network. I'm Kate Constable. He's Mark Drumheller. Mark, speaking of things
that
happened in the break, no, I actually didn't even go and fill my water up. Now I'm like bone dry here. I'm going to have to do it in the next break.
We did.
Which I don't like to do when we have guests coming up in the next segment, which we will, because we have Andy Hart joining us next segment at 5:40. He's the co-host of the Six Rings podcast, and we're going to talk a little NFL draft with him. So I'm going to have to go, geez, the rest of this hour with no water. But this break, you got quite a few tasks done. You're out here ordering pizza. What's going on?
Tell me, I'm professional with this, man. You got to get the pizza in. Friday night's pizza night. You got to get it in. You want to talk about pressure. You got to have this routine down or you're not going to get back in time for the break. So the people know me. You know, they know me. They know I'm going to be short. They know I'm going to be quick with the order. I know what I want. I spit it out. I get back here and back ready to deliver some winners.
So what are we ordering tonight? What's on the pizza?
Oh, dude, we do half bacon, half pepperoni. So that's how we do it. We do half bacon, half pepperoni. You know, there's one kid likes bacon, one kid likes pepperoni. That's, you know, and I eat anything. I'm a dude, so it doesn't matter to me.
Not Canadian bacon, just actual bacon, right?
Yeah, real bacon. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good. You don't eat bacon under pizza? Bacon.
I've had it before, and I'll eat it. Like, I don't discriminate when it comes to pizza. I will pretty much eat anything, except if there's black olives on it.
Are we not a fan of bacon?
I don't do. No, I love bacon. Love bacon. Big fan of bacon. I don't love bacon on my pizza. I understand that's very weird, because if I like bacon and I like pizza, you'd think I'd like them together. But I don't love it on pizza.
All right, so I did not have this on my bingo card. We have someone who's mixing Thin Mints and carnitas, and she's talking to me about putting bacon on my pizza. Come on, man. No, I think it's a great combination. Bacon might be my favorite topping at a pizza. Pepperoni might be too, but yeah, I think that's the old one too. Really? But yeah, the daughter likes pepperoni, the son likes bacon. So doesn't matter to me what they leave me. You know, it's going to be cold. I'm going to have to heat it up by the time we get off air anyway. So I'll take whatever's left over.
I mean, I would eat bacon pizza over carnitas and Thin Mints for dinner if presented the opportunity. Like, I would choose the bacon pizza over the Thin Mints and carnitas. Right? That's kind of a given.
That's probably a winning call.
Yeah. Side note here. I was at Target the other day. I'm shopping for like shampoo and body wash. Had to get some more lotion, just kind of like restocking the bathroom necessities. They have thin mint scented body wash. Not just thin mint. They have Girl Scout scented. It's like a collab with Girl Scouts. And so I stopped and I'm like, of course, had the smell all of them. So I'm the weirdo who's like sniffing all the body wash in the aisle, right? I mean, everyone does that, but does everyone do that? I think they do. I do it all the time.
I don't know. I'm not in that aisle too much, but
you let your wife handle that? Yeah.
You know, I'm a basic guy. Like, I need some soap. I need some shampoo. I don't understand why the shower has to be stocked. Like, what is behind that? Like, why does there need to be 75 different things in the shower?
It's not stocked, but like, I was out of body wash.
You'll need that.
To restock that. I only have one container at a time, but I was running low, you know? So I had to go back and restock.
How do they make this smell like Thin Mints? Like, it's not like
made
before.
I have no idea.
Right?
It was the Thin Mints. It was whatever, like, multiple different scents of the different Girl Scout cookies. And I'm not like a Girl Scout cookie connoisseur. My husband bought them to like support someone he works with, their kid. So of course I'm going to eat them, but I would never like, I haven't bought them in years. So
you wouldn't buy them on your own. You're just buying them to help out. Yeah.
But I'm smelling, like, it was disgusting. You could not pay me to use Girl Scout cookie scented body wash. Like, that's where I draw the line. That's too much. Too far.
I don't know why you would want to smell like Thin Mints.
Right?
I don't, like, to me, like, it doesn't seem like it's, like, work. Like, they're just trying to, like, sell you, market anything. Anything that's popular at the time, they're trying to market it.
It's marketable. I don't need to be the girl that's running around smelling like she's just stuffed her face with 75 Thin Mints. Two quick cookies in the break when I'm actually just home alone, like no one around to either see or smell anything. That's fine. Yeah. But I don't need to be going out in public smelling like Thin Mints or peppermint patty, whatever.
Peanut butter. Husband comes home, patty. He's like, oh, you got Thin Mints. And you're like, no, that's just me.
No, I just smell like cookies. Yeah, too far. Too far. All right, getting a little off track here. Let's go back to Western Conference first round, not the finals. Lakers and Nuggets, though. Nuggets were in the finals last year. Well, actually, both of these teams in the Western Conference finals last year, a repeat. And the Nuggets swept the Lakers in that series. Nuggets swept the season series this year, all three games. They have won 8 straight, dating back to the regular season of last year. I am not convinced that the Lakers have a chance in this series, but I do think that they get a game. Pat Boyle, we just talked to him. He thinks that they can possibly steal 2. That would be the max for me in terms of the Lakers' potential in this series. How about you, Mark?
Yeah, I think they get swept. I like Pat, and I think Pat does an excellent job. And you know, but I can't get there on this one. I mean, what do we even? Why it feels like we're trying to find a way to make the Lakers relevant? Like, they get smoked by this team every time they play them. The Lakers are an older, aging veterans, right? You have AD, you have LeBron. They're gonna be playing in altitude. I'm a believer that altitude's a real thing. Like, I think that, like, when you have a veteran team and you have to play in those conditions, like, that does make a difference. And I think they get smoked. I think it's 4 games. I think it's it. This is probably a sweep. The Nuggets just have their number. There's nothing you can do against Jokic. Like, what are you going to do? Like, you can't put AD on him because he's going to wear AD out. Like, and then you're going to have a tired AD. Like, so then, you know, I know last year they tried putting, like, Hachimura on him, and that kind of, you know, helped take the pressure off AD. He's just, you can't double team him because he's just going to rack up 1,000 assists and Denver's going to score at will. I'm not sure what the Lakers can do in this series. I think this is probably 4 games straight. To me, it feels like we want to, you know, make it entertaining, and we want the Lakers to be relevant, but I don't think this is the spot. Like, I just think this is an awful matchup for them.
It is an awful matchup. The reason that I believe the Lakers can at least get one game, going back to last season, their last postseason, they saw Denver in the conference finals. Like, I know there was a lot of talk prior to the Lakers play-in game against the Pelicans that, like, should the Lakers lose that game, play the second play-in game. That way they get an easier path to the finals and they don't have to see the Nuggets until later in this in the playoffs. Obviously, the Lakers didn't go down that route, but I don't think they should have. That shouldn't have even been entertained for a variety of reasons. I do think playing the Nuggets in the first round here, like, toughest matchup they're going to get, but if there's any time to do it, it's right away. Because at the by the time they meet him in the Western Conference, you're talking about a 39-year-old LeBron James playing in his 20-plus season, right? Like, yeah. Anthony Davis is an older player. They're going to be gassed, and they were gassed last year in that series, which is part of the reason they got swept. Like, they were exhausted. You get the Nuggets in the first round, you maybe have a little bit more energy. You're not dealing with as many issues. Things aren't hurting quite as much. Plus, you get, well, actually, help me remember this, Mark. In the first round, do they play every other day? And then as the playoffs go on, you get two days rest in between?
I think there's some games that have two games rest and some games that don't. I know the Sixers have, like, I think between games two and three, the Sixers have the extra day in the Knicks series because they brought that up, like, in regards to Embiid. Like, at least Embiid gets a little more rest, like, during some of the travel days. But I don't think it's the same for every series. So I think it kind of depends. Like, some teams get additional rest and, you know, it's just how the TV markets work it out with the networks. You know, I think it really just comes down to that. But, yeah, I understand it. I can agree with you here that the Lakers' best shot to steal a game in this series is the first one. Like, I think it's the first one. Like, if they come out and steal game two, like, the Nuggets come out flat, you know, the Lakers can surprise them, win that game. Okay, I can sign off on that being a realistic outcome, but I honestly don't think it happens, and I don't think that the Lakers are going to be competitive in the majority of these games.
It's just, yeah.
Like, it's LeBron, and we want it to happen. Like, we want, I know. We don't want to see LeBron go out like this, but I think LeBron's going to go out like this. Like, Denver's really, really good. And this is bad. Now, the Lakers won did the Lakers win the play in?
Yes, they won the first game of the play in.
Yeah. No, not the play in. The in season tournament. Who won the in-season tournament? Was that the Lakers?
Yeah, they hung a banner. They were popping balls.
So this is why. This is why there should be a real reward for this, like, winning the in-season tournament. Like, the Lakers could use a little bit of a reward right now, right? Whether it's like, hey, getting to, like, you know, get some extra rest before the next playoff series or whatnot, or maybe, hey, not having to play the Nuggets, that could be the reward. But, you know, whatever the reward is for that play-in tournament, the Lakers could use it now because they need something. They need a life raft here, and there's nothing there. They get, you know, they hung their banner. Great. They won the in-season tournament. But if it was something like, hey, you automatically get a bid to the playoffs, then they wouldn't have to play in the play-in. And they would have been a little more well-rested before having to go and play in Denver, which is one of the hardest places to play in the NBA.
And there has been talk within the last couple of days about making, you know, changing the reward for winning the in-season tournament to potentially being something with your seeding in the postseason. So I could see that coming down the road. Yeah, you're right. That would certainly help the Lakers here in this spot, not having to play the Nuggets in the first round. Like, that's the toughest draw they could get. And the reason the Lakers have, well, for, you know, there's a variety of reasons, but one of them is matchup-wise on the guards, right? Like, Jokic is one thing. No one is going to be able to stop Nikola Jokic. Like, it just doesn't happen, regardless of who's defending him. But the Lakers have to choose whether or not they want to play their, you know, a lineup that can defend or a lineup that can score. Because D'Angelo Russell can score for you. He can't defend. Austin Reeves can score for you. He can't defend. So what do you do then? Like, you're sacrificing offense for defense, which in that case, like, your offense isn't good enough to keep up with the Nuggets offense if you're not able to slow them down at all. So that's where the mismatches come in. That's where the Nuggets are in trouble. Jokic is one thing, but some of these perimeter players and their, you know, how porous they are on the defensive end or their point of attack defense, like, you're not slowing down Jamal Murray. You're not slowing down the pick and roll. It's just not happening. So
I think they need I think they need Russell on the court, and I think they need him to shoot effectively from at three-point range in order to keep pace. But I also feel like they need James to get to the paint and draw fouls and score that way. So I think without Russell, I don't think it works. So I don't think that you can just sacrifice Russell's offense for the sake of defense, because let's be honest, they're probably not going to stop the Nuggets. They're not going to slow the Nuggets down, regardless of who they have on the court. So you might as well get some firepower out there and hope that you can, you know, get hot and build a big lead that you can carry on. Like, get the lead and then let LeBron drive to the paint, take over, you know, and take over the game that way to keep, you know, he's going to get the whistles. Like, we know LeBron's going to get a good whistle. So that helps you maintain that lead if you can get hot shooting early.
Do you like Nikola Jokic to be the series leader in points at even money, or do you like LeBron James at plus 330?
330 is a nice number, but I like Jokic, right? Because if these games get out of hand, is LeBron even going to play the whole game? Like, how many of these four games is LeBron going to be playing in the fourth quarter? Like, maybe not, you know, maybe not three of them, maybe only two of them. If it gets ugly, I'm sitting LeBron. I mean, I'm not wasting my energy if it's game one and they're down by 25 points, you know, in the late third quarter. Sure. I'm putting LeBron on the bench.
But Jokic probably isn't playing then either.
He probably is, because he's probably just out there dishing it around, having some fun. Like, it's rec league game to him, man. It's not, like, LeBron. It's no problem, man. It's no problem.
In last year's Western Conference Finals, it was... Jamal Murray led in one game, AD in one game.
Yeah, he went nuts. Yeah.
Yeah, you had that 37-point performance. Murray had two 37-point games. Mm-hmm. Dang. I forgot about that. Yeah, okay. Well, Jokic was not the leading scorer in any one of these games last year. But that's because Murray had those two big games, so obviously he took a back seat then when Murray is scoring like that, right? Of course, you got to do that. All right, switching over to a little NFL. Andy Hart, co-host of the Six Rings Podcast, is joining us next here in You Better You Bet. Hey, Constable Mark Drumheller here, hanging out with you on You Better You Bet. Have a little over an hour and a half left in the show here. Next hour, our final hour, our power hour, we're going to be giving away all of our best bets. We're also going to be talking to Joe DeLera, jumping back into a little NBA talk. But we do need to take a break from the NBA stuff, because NFL season is 24/7. It's all the time. And the draft is about 6 days away, which means it's crunch time here. So we're going to bring in Andy Hart, co-host of the Six Rings Podcast and Patriot supporter for WEEI. Andy, thanks so much for jumping on with us today. I know this week's busy for you. Last week is busy for you. Are you sick of just kind of talking about the same thing in circles over and over and over again?
Well, no pressure, but I'm expecting you guys to bring new questions, new topics, new ideas to the top of the draft, the Patriots, quarterbacks, and everything that's going on. But it's been a weird world, because, you know, I've covered this team for a long time, and for so many years, it was like, I wonder what it's like to pick up there, because you pick 32nd, 28th, whatever it is down there, and you're just kind of waiting. You're talking about third tier players and, you know, no blue chip prospects. And now it's like, this kind of got old in like mid-February when there was still 2 months to go, because we've been talking about Drake May, Jaden Daniels, and who's better for 4 months now.
Absolutely, Andy. And, you know, one of the things we heard, there's really two consensus lines of thinking when it comes to the Patriots and what they'll do at number three. You know, one of them is draft a quarterback. The other one seems to be around trading out if they aren't going to draft a quarterback. Just, you know, a question, could be personal opinion, could be things that you heard or whatnot. But, you know, do you think it depends on which quarterback falls, whether they decide to trade out or whether they decide to go for a quarterback?
I don't. I think they are comfortable with whichever of the three, and I'll include the three. Pretty sure Caleb Williams is going to the Bears, but whatever, stuff happens. But I think if any of the three, you know, whichever one is left, they're going to be pretty willing to take. I think they believe all, and I kind of agree with this, that all three have franchise quarterback upside. Now, that certainly doesn't guarantee, that guy. I think what is going to matter is the phrase that Gerard Mayo used at the owners meetings and Elliot Wolf used a little less comfortably in his pre-draft press conference, the bag. Does the bag arrive from somebody? They are looking for the bag. And I had somebody tell me that the offers just haven't been very impressive so far to move up, which is interesting because, you know, we've heard a lot of chatter about teams like Minnesota putting themselves in position to move up, or the Raiders maybe wanting to move up and get a quarterback, and a couple other teams, the Giants, whoever it may be. So far, none of those offers of quality have made it to the Patriots. Elliot Wolf did say they've had conversations, laid the foundations for those talks, but I think they are looking at that 49ers trade a couple of years ago, which was three first-round picks, and saying, inflation's a big thing in this country. That's where the discussions start. It's not where it ends. So I like a team like Minnesota, I think they're looking for 11, 23, a first-round pick next year, and more. Maybe, you know, the name I've heard floated is Christian Darrisaw, their starting left tackle. You throw him in, maybe we can start to have a conversation. And until that happens, I think they're right now prepared to sit and pick whatever quarterback falls to them.
Andy, first of all, Caleb Williams is going number one to the Chicago Bears. No funny business going on this year. That's happening, and that's coming from a Bears fan. So yep. I have to, you know, we have to just kind of put that out there that nothing is going to go wrong. Bears aren't going to screw this up. It's going to happen. Looking a little bit further down the board. So if New England stays pat at number three and takes a quarterback, the Giants, there's been some talk at number six. Like, in your estimate, are they keeping Daniel Jones? Are they riding with him for the next year and kind of seeing how that works and you know, building around him? Is that something that you see happening?
I think they're in the quarterback market, and that next quarterback, that fourth quarterback, by most accounts, depending on where you listen, there's a couple other outliers, but is J.J. McCarthy. And I think he is, you know, we use this term too often, I think, in sports radio, like fascinating. I think J.J. McCarthy is fascinating. This idea that he could entice somebody at three or four, when I think he's a winner. You can't take anything away from his ring and his record and what he accomplished. I didn't see franchise quarterback type challenges for him at Michigan. I saw a guy that pretty much every game was played on his team's terms, behind the best offensive line, with the best running game, with the best coach, with the best defense. And that's, if you go to a team like the Patriots, there was a while there, people were trying to tell me Elliot Wolf loves J.J. McCarthy. I never bought it. I still don't buy it. But if you go to the Patriots or you go to the Giants, you're him. You're expected to, you know, strap that team on your shoulders and now win and be the reason you win, not just along for the ride. And so when I look at a team like the Giants, I don't know that there's an upgrade over Daniel Jones. I feel like Daniel Jones has shown he has athletic ability. He can play the position of quarterback. What he hasn't shown is that he's a franchise quarterback, that he is a guy that can be the reason you win, right? Elevate people around him. And the job didn't get any easier with Saquon Barkley leaving in New York. So do I think the Giants want another quarterback? I do. I'm just not sure that there's another quarterback that's a massive upgrade over Daniel Jones, who you're already paying, unless, you know, that old caveat, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. You look at a Michael Penix. I know there's some people that want to tell me Michael Penix is the cat's meow, or, you know, for a while there was like Bo Nix is the guy. You see that completion percentage. And to me, those are kind of lateral moves. It's one questionable first-round quarterback, Daniel Jones, to another questionable first-round quarterback in those other guys.
Andy, ton of wide receivers in the draft. I mean, the class is just so deep, tons of playmakers. You know, we're seeing that more and more as, you know, college football, you know, just gets better and better, in my opinion. Do you think that the Patriots look that way after securing their first quarterback? Like, is that really the order of what we should expect? Hey, we're going to get a quarterback. We're going to try and get them, you know, young wide receiver, sort of like Peyton Manning, Marvin Harrison, you know, Brady, Randy Moss, if you want to go Patriots. Do you think that's the direction that they go?
For a while, that was the great debate in New England. Like, okay, they're going to take a quarterback. So what do they do at 34? They seem to have two other marquee holes on the roster. That's left tackle and wide receiver. Now, we listened to Elliot Wolf yesterday, And he said, I don't really agree with that. I think we have a left tackle. I think we have NFL receivers. And I know it's that time of year where believing GMs in press conferences is not really smart to do. But that made me ponder if they believe Okorafor, the right tackle they signed from the Steelers, he said he could start at left tackle. So that would open up that window for what you just said. Go get a quality wide receiver so that your young quarterback, they start from day one together, developing that relationship and that bond and building moving forward. The flip side of that would be, I don't believe him. You don't have a left tackle. And if you want a left tackle, you probably need to use the 34th pick on one if you think you're getting a starter. Because I think there's more of a limited number of tackles that are seen as sort of A, left tackle types, and then B, capable of stepping in and starting early in their careers. Whereas wide receiver, you just mentioned it. I mean, Puka Nacua just may have had the greatest rookie season in the history of football as a fifth round pick. And so if I were making the pick, I think I'd probably try to get that tackle, either 34th pick or even trade back into the first round, maybe late in the first round there. And then trust my scouts, trust my eye, and say, I'm going to get one of these third round wide receivers that has been an impact receiver, right? Like Tank Dell last year with CJ Stroud. You know, there's no saying you have to take it at the top of the second round to get talent. So I think there is a good chance at 34, though, they are going to target a receiver because I've been told they like a lot of guys that they think are going to be in that area.
All right, Andy, you told us before you jumped on here that you want to have a little fun, you know, talk about things outside of the basic quarterback, you know, top three, all that jazz. So you have a dream trade scenario for us. We have about, you know, 2 to 3 minutes left here in this segment. Lay out this dream scenario for us.
So there's been talk that the Minnesota Vikings obviously want to trade up. There's also been talk that maybe Kevin O'Connell, former Patriots backup quarterback and draft pick, really likes J.J. McCarthy. Because maybe that's a team with T.J. Hockenson, Justin Jefferson. Maybe it's ready for J.J. McCarthy to come in and kind of not have to carry the load. So you make that deal. You entice them to throw in Christian Darrisaw. You get 11, you get 23, you get a first-round pick next year, you get Christian Darrisaw. Now you have a left tackle. Check. Got it all done. Well, now there's no saying that anybody at 4, say the Cardinals, or 5, say the Chargers, they don't need a quarterback. And Drake May, your dream guy, is still on the board because the Vikings just took J.J. McCarthy at 3. So now I'm trading back up, and I'm actually happy to give you those 3 first-round picks, 11, 23, and next year's 1 to get to 4 with the Cardinals, who can get a receiver at 11 who's going to be good. It's not going to be Marvin Harrison, but he'll be good. So now I have Drake May with the 4th pick in the draft. I have Christian Darrisaw as my left tackle, franchise left tackle, and now at 34. I'm taking a wide receiver, and by the second pick of the second round, I've checked off all my to-do list, and I'm doing Mike Ditka. I'm going golfing. The draft's over, and I just rebuilt my offense. What do you think?
I actually love it. I think that it resembles a little bit of what we saw out of the Texans last year, and that where that was something that I scoffed at that actually worked, right? You know, they couldn't decide, do we want Will Anderson Jr.? Do we want C.J. Stroud? How about we take them both and just go for it? So I like it. I think it really worked.
I was going to say, have you applied to be an NFL GM ever?
No, too much stress. It's more fun to just throw it out on podcasts and the radio. Then if you're wrong, you just move on. Then I'll talk Red Sox tomorrow night and rip them and move on, whatever.
That's right. If you're wrong as a GM, you just lose your job and have to pick up your family and move somewhere else. You know, a little bit different of a trade-off. Yeah.
Exactly.
All right, Andy. Well, I actually do love that trade scenario. I might have to, you know, explore that a little bit more on some other shows, ask some other people about that, because that's very, very interesting. Thank you so much for jumping on and joining us today. We appreciate it. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the draft next week.
My pleasure. And yes, finally, we are under a week. Finally, we can talk about the draft being this close. See, I got my balloons in the background. I'm ready for my draft party.
I love it. Get ready to hang those up. That was Andy Hart, co-host of the Six Rings podcast and reporter for WEEI. All right, coming up on the other side, Joe DeLera is going to talk to us a little bit about some of his favorite NBA playoff bets to kick off our power hour, our final hour here on You Better You Bet.